Have a good crowd, and please take your Bibles and follow along, because this morning we're going to look at the lesson titled Making Wise Choices. Making Wise Choices. So we want to welcome all visitors and encourage you to follow along. Remember those that we've mentioned that are having difficulties. Now, choices we make every day, and there's so many. We've all made our share of bad choices. But we need to always keep in memory that if we use God and His Word to make, help us make our choices, we'll be starting out in the right direction. In Joshua chapter 24, beginning at verse 13, Joshua said, "And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye did not build, or ye build not. And ye dwell in them, of the vineyards and of olive yards which are planted, not did ye eat. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth." That's something we should always do, huh? "Fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So Joshua made the proper choice, didn't he? He challenged the people to make a choice who you're going to serve. So Joshua and the people, they recognized the sovereignty and power of authority of Jehovah. With a spirit of fervor, Joshua proclaimed that his allegiance and the allegiance of his family is to the Lord. So what's our allegiance to? What do you think about choices? You know, we face similar challenges and choices that Joshua faced. Now, every day we're faced with choices, major and minor ones. All choices are important. Now, how we make choices will determine our course in life. So some helpful things to consider when we're making choices. You know, don't make rash or impulsive decisions. Think through your decision. Make decisions, but don't procrastinate or be indecisive. Some people, they just can't decide what they want to do. They're just back and forth and never make a decision. That's not good, is it? Apply good sense, reason, and logic in making choices. You know, consult with those that are wise in the choice you're considering and use their advices that they can give you. Make all choices with God in mind, using His standard. Because we all must make a choice. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Jesus said, "No man can serve two masters, for either will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." And Matthew 12, verse 30. Jesus said, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." So we're either on the Lord's side or we're not. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, John said, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." So, what will be your life? What choice will we make? Now Moses over in Deuteronomy chapter 30 urged the people to choose life. Beginning at verse 15, he says, "See, I set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. And that I commanded thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land where thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, But you'll be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land where they possess, where they passeth over the Jordan to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, he said, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of days, that thou mightest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. So Moses urged the people to choose life, to follow God's ways, his commandments, and shouldn't we do that? Same applies, doesn't it? Same applies. So, the importance of making wise choices. Think about Lot's choices. You know, Lot made some choices that cost his family and him terrible consequences. His daughters partook of the sins of Sodom and were destroyed over in Genesis chapter 13, verse 1. And because he lived in the plain near Sodom, you see, that had an influence in him. And Bob and I were talking yesterday about a fellow he knows that I think lived up around Reno or somewhere in one of the big gambling cities. And the fellow paid the price eventually because of the influence that that area had upon him and his family. And he lost it all. Beginning at verse 5 of Genesis chapter 13, it says, and Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, and they that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I say, pray thee, from me, and if thou wilt take the right or left hand, I will take the right hand, or if thou wilt depart to the right hand, I'll go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes to behold all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered. For before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou dost comest unto Zoar, then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. They separated themselves one from another, and Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. The men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. So, the question we heard asked, where do you pitch your tent? Where do you place your choices? Where do you place yourself? That could be an evil influence. You avoid that. See, Lot lost his wife in Genesis chapter 19. You see that his wife was turned to a pillar of salt when Sodom was destroyed. Beginning in Genesis chapter 19, verse 24, the text says there, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and he overthrew the cities and all the plain and the inhabitants of the cities which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Remember a church we used to attend, and they had the clock in the back wall. Underneath the clock it says, remember Lot's wife. She's looking back as though she hated to leave that area. Now his remaining daughters were influenced by Sodom and got him drunk and sinned with him. And so we see that his daughters, the both of his daughters by Lot, and they were with children of their father. And the firstborn bare a son, called his name Moab, and the same, the father of the Moabites is the same. The younger also bare a son and called his name Benaimai, and the name of the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. So as a result of that sinful act, we see where Moab and Ammon came, their beginnings. So those weren't good choices, were they? But think about the choices Moses made. Moses made righteous choices. In Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 24, the text is there, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the sons of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respected the recompense of the Lord. So Moses could have enjoyed all the pleasures of Egypt, but he chose not to. He chose to suffer with God's people. And probably those of his day, his associates, thought that was a foolish choice on his part. Why'd you do that? You had it made, Moses. Why'd you want to choose to be with God's people? To see his choices, his righteous choices, resulted in being considered as one of God's great servants, didn't it? Again, the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 11, verse 24, by faith Moses, in his coming years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose rather to suffer affliction than to be with God's people. Then also, it resulted in him appearing at the transfiguration of Jesus over in Matthew chapter 17. We see where Moses and Elias talked with Jesus, and Peter, James, and John were there. Beginning at verse 1, it says, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white and white, and behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elias talking with them. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. And so Jesus was transfigured. And as he said that, a voice appeared and spoke out of the voice, or out of the cloud, a voice spoke that said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him, in reference to Jesus. But Moses was there, wasn't he? And then we see over in Revelation chapter 15, verse 1 through 3, that they sang a song concerning him. John wrote, and I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven plagues for them filled up with the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast. So the seven angels and those that were victorious over Satan and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the glass or sea of glass having hearts of God, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God. And the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of the saints. See, Jesus made wise choices. His choices result in the great spiritual blessings that man can enjoy if they're obedient to him. Now, Jesus, he chose to live as a man on earth for our benefit. Paul makes reference to this when he writes to those in Philippi. He said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God glorified him. He raised him up. He highly exalted him for our benefit. See, Jesus chose, like Moses, to suffer affliction and temptation for all sinners. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, he said, "For even to were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." John said, John recorded what Jesus said in John 7 or 10, verse 17, where he said, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life, that I might take it up again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay down myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it up again. This commandment I have received of my Father." And Paul, when he wrote to the Romans, spoke of Jesus. And he said, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Jesus," or Christ, "died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure, for a good man would some even dare to die. But God has commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So compare Lot, Moses, and Jesus, their decisions, their choices. We make choices. We're going to talk about some areas, five areas of important choices we make in life. A lot of us have already made those choices. But people of the age of our younger folks need to take this to heart. And the bad choices that we make, some can be corrected, not all of them, but we can urge other people not to make maybe bad choices that we've made in life. But one of the first choices you're going to have to make is who your friends are. Who will be your friends? Who will you associate with? Ever thought about that? Remember Paul's teaching, and this was mentioned this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 33. Paul said, "Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupt good manners and morals." So who we associate with can have an influence on us. It can be good or bad. So do we remember God's teaching when we choose who we're going to associate with? So don't underestimate the power of peer pressure, though. In Exodus chapter 32, verse 2, when Moses said, "Thou shalt not call a multitude to do evil, neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after men to rest judgment." A lot of times people are moved by mob mentality. A multitude, or the group that you're with, may talk to you in the sense, "You know that's not right, but you go along with it." In Exodus chapter 32, verse 1 to 2, just as an example, when the people saw Moses laid to come down from the mount, one day they built a calf, and they murmured against Moses. They gathered the people, gathered themselves together unto Aaron, and said to him, "Up, make gods that which shall go before us, for this Moses, this man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not as become of him." And Aaron went along with it and said, "Break off the earrings and the gold earrings which are on your ears and of your wives and sons of your daughters, and bring them to me." And he fashioned the calf, and they worshipped it. Peer pressure. Peer pressure. Solomon said over in Proverbs chapter 1, he talked about this. Proverbs chapter 1, beginning at verse 10. Solomon said, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent not thou not. If they say, 'Come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance, we shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse.'" He said, "My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed innocent blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird." so are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, and which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. A lot of people have fallen into that trap, young people. Be careful who you associate with. And young people, if you're dating, remember who you date. That's important. Not just who you marry, we'll get to that. But who you date, who you associate with, is important, isn't it? Another important thing you're going to have to think about is your education. Now, education is important. Remember, what's the goal of your study? What's the goal? Will your studies interfere with your Christian duties and faith? A lot of people go to school believers in God and come out infidels just from what some of these professors feed kids. Then how far do you plan on going, and how will you apply your education? How will you pay for it? A lot of kids can't pay for their college bills. You expect the government to just waive it and pass over it or pay it for them. What institution will you attend? Is it one that's going to influence you to good or evil? Are there dangers in higher learning and knowledge? There is, isn't there? And some might begin to covet various levels of learning. We live in a society that needs or feels that it needs to keep up with the Joneses as far as degrees are concerned. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, Paul says, "Now as touching things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth." A lot of people, because they're knowledgeable and maybe even religious things, can be puffed up or become haughty. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 18, Solomon said, "For much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow." So as we gain knowledge, as we see and have insight and knowledge of things that are both wrong and right, and things that cannot be made right, and to know all the pain and suffering and hardships and success that comes with just life itself, you know, those things can be grievous. Some will live their lives in ease while others experience extreme hardships. And some people are very evil and some are very good. The grief associated with wisdom is found when one realizes there was some nothing could be done to change these tendencies in life that some have. There always will be heartache and joy among those who labor under the sun. To have knowledge of these facts can be somewhat disheartening when we peer into the real lives of people you know and come in contact with. Not just a casual observation of one's problems, but a real understanding of the hardships some are going through. Why? Because of the bad decisions they made, the bad choices. And it's heart-wrenching to know that so many people live, they make foolish decisions, they spend their lives in the prison of their own consequences of bad decisions, and their children are the real victims of these bad decisions. That's what knowledge can bring you. That's what wisdom can bring you. To realize that. And then, our employment and vocation. What will we choose to do? You know, most people aren't happy with what they do. Will you choose a reputable vocation? The most reputable vocation you can choose is to be a Christian, isn't it? Think about that. Now, will you choose to be a teacher, a healthcare worker, a housewife, a mother, or a preacher? What will you choose to do? Probably the most honorable one up there is housewife or mother. Proverbs 31, beginning at verse 10. We won't read that, but we've read that before. Remember, some employment is not reputable, is it? So will you remember God's teaching on working? That's the point. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning at verse 10, Paul says, "For even when we were with you, we commanded you that if any would not work, neither should he eat." That's Paul. That's the divine view of laziness. "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by the Lord Jesus Christ that they with quietness work and eat their own bread." A bulletin 2 weeks ago talked about quitting when you're not tired and the bitter fruits of laziness. If you didn't read that, there's some copies back there. I'd urge you to get that and read it. 2 weeks ago, I think it was. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11, that they study, he told, commanded them to study, to be quiet, to do your own business, and to work with your hands as we commanded you. Paul told the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, he said, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, work with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to them that giveth, or may have to give to them that needeth." In Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, when God created man and woman, he put them in the garden to tend it and care for it, to work, didn't he? Even when they were in the garden, even when they had the best of everything, he put them there to tend and to care for the garden, to keep it and to dress it. Over in Genesis chapter 3, verse 19, when they were driven out of the garden because of their sin, the Lord said, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return to the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and dust shalt thou return." So man is made to work. What will you do? What reputation will you have regarding your workmates? What vocation will you choose? Will it be one that will sustain you and your family? Something to think about. Then marriage. Yeah, most people will get married. Some won't, though. That's all right. The Lord didn't say you have to get married, did he? But most people will get married. But the question is, who will you marry? You got to make a choice, don't you? Or who will you choose to marry? Because who you choose can have lasting consequences, can it? The happiness and soul of you and your mate and your children will be at risk just based on who you marry. So choose a mate that will help you get to heaven, not hinder you. Don't choose a mate based on physical infatuation. Don't rush into marriage. Get good advice from others who are successfully married, and your parents and your reputable brethren. Choose a mate that meets God's approval. Because in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, the writer said, "Marriage is honorable. The institution of marriage is honorable in all. And the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge." The American Standard Version renders that, "Let marriage be had in honor among all, and let the bed be undefiled for fornicators. God will judge." Now, whatever the opinions of man may be, whether from ignorance or indifference to the divine decree, in the end, God will judge us all. So those who are morally rebellious will not escape the righteous judgment of God. The marriage bed is used in this passage of Scripture as a euphemism for sexual intercourse. And this author considers that the physical union in the marriage relationship is pure in contrast with adulterous and immoral practices. Who will you marry? Who does God permit you to marry? You ever thought about that? Ever thought about that? Well, the Bible tells us that, doesn't it? First, only a man and a woman, despite what our society says. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, God said, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh." In Matthew 19, beginning at verse 3, when Jesus was approached by the scribes and Pharisees, the Pharisees came to him, tempting him, and saying unto him, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?" And he answered and said unto them, Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? So who can marry? A man and a woman. Not two men, not two women. A man and a woman, that's who can marry. And be right in God's sight. Despite what man says, despite what our society says. He said, For this cause shall man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore there are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. It's only a man and a woman, is what God says. Then a man and a woman who have never been married. Go back to Matthew 19, verse 4 and 5. It said, He answered and said, Then have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? So God brought Eve to Adam after he made her. He brought the woman to the man. As we think about Hebrews chapter 13 again, the marriage is honorable and all, the bed undefiled. For the whore, murderers, and adulterers, God will judge. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, verse 9, Paul talked about this. He said, But if they cannot contain, he's talking about people who cannot keep from having sex or exercise self-control. He said, Let them marry. For it's better to marry than to burn. But if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. If a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. He's talking about some situation at that time that was going on, but people who couldn't control their urges, Paul said, marry. And to avoid fornication, he said, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, didn't he? Turn to that. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, it says, Now concerning the things whereby I wrote to you, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. He said, Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Notice the word own, not someone else's. Let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. So a man and a woman who's never been married can marry, can't they? Then one who's made has died. In Romans chapter 7, verse 2, Paul said, For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law of her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she should be called an adulteress if she's married to another man. He said, But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. So one who's made has died can marry again. That is, they can marry someone who's approved by God to marry. Then, one who put away their mate for fornication. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 9, Jesus said, And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, commit adultery, and he shall marry her which is put away. That's commit adultery. In Matthew 5:32, Jesus said, I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, save him for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And he shall marry her which is divorced, committeth adultery. So you have that option. If your mate commits adultery, you have the option to put her away and marry again. You don't have to, but you have that option. And then, a man and a woman reconciling a lawful marriage. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, he said, I, unto the married I command you, yet not I, but the Lord. No, the Lord is calling the authority he cites here. He said, Let not the wife depart from her husband. But and if she depart, let her remain unmarried. If she departs, she's divorced from him, isn't she? She's unmarried. Or, what? Be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband be put away his wife. So the two options, remain unmarried, or be reconciled. Only two options one has. So a man and a woman who want to reconcile their previous marriage can do so.
Paul said so by the commandment of the Lord.
Next, regarding choices, who will you serve? Who are you going to choose to serve? Remember Joshua chapter 24, 13 through 15? He said, I've given you a land which ye did not labor, cities which ye did not build, and ye dwell in them, and the vineyards and olives which ye did not plant, to eat of. Now, therefore, he said, fear the Lord, serve him, sincerity and in truth. So who will we serve? We do like Joshua. We choose to serve the Lord this day. Important decision, isn't it? So who will we serve? We need to follow Solomon's advice. Solomon advised young people from a very early age to serve God, didn't he? Solomon said, beginning in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 or 11, verse 9, he says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Whatever we choose to do, God's going to judge us. He's going to judge us. He said, therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh. For thy childhood and thy youth are vain. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. All the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. So remember God in your youth. Serve God from an early age. Make that choice way back there. Hopefully most of us made that son. My Bob was an older man when he obeyed the gospel, weren't you, Bob? Bob probably looks back at regret. I wish I would have known what I know now back then. See, think about that. Young people, choose God early in life. You're doing a good job. Keep it up. Make those choices early. Your life will be much better. Because if you sow wild oats, you'll reap what you sow, won't you? Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, he says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. For he that soweth to his flesh of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit, will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And Paul told Timothy to flee youthful lusts. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. He said, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, or love, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So youthful lusts include things and desires like the quest to be rich in this world, sexual immorality, and the elect of God will rather choose to follow after that that is right. They'll follow after what is right and faithful, and they'll have that love and care and concern for themselves and others, and they'll choose peace rather than turmoil. And the elect of God are further identified in that passage of Scripture as them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Notice that. He said, with them, make these choices, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Because we're going to make the choices. We're going to choose between God and man or mammon. And Jesus said, you can serve. No man can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and man and wealth and riches. And either we're on his side or not on his side. Remember, he said, he that's not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. So, regarding choices, and choose to be a person of commitment. You ever thought about that? You ever known someone that wasn't really committed? Brethren, some brethren are like that, unfortunately. The proper choices without commitment usually result in failure, don't they? So the bitter fruit of lacking commitment is your manners being corrupted by bad people you associate with. That was our first point, wasn't it? By dropping out of school, are you going to successfully complete your education, and or will you be a dropout? Now, a lot of brethren are dropout brethren. Having poor work ethics, laziness, a failed marriage, and forsaking God. These are all the bitter fruit of not being committed. So we need to be people of commitment, don't we? Remember, we cited Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15 through 30. And again, beginning at that same area of Scripture, go back to verse 19. So, who will we choose to serve, God or man? Remember, Moses said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, but I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and thy length of days. So do we believe that? Is that the choice we're going to make? To choose life? The other choice is death, isn't it? Life or death? That's the lesson. You're doing a subject of the Lord's invitation. Remember that all sinners must hear God's word, the gospel, must believe what they hear. Jesus said, if you believe not that I am, he shall die in your sins. We must repent of our sins and realize that there will be a day when God will judge us. He commands all men everywhere to repent. Confess Christ as being both Lord and Savior, the Son of God, and be baptized in water for the remission of sins. If you're an erring child of God, if you made the wrong choices, you can choose today, right now, to make a turnaround. You can repent and pray. If you're desirous to do so, we encourage you to repent. And remember, those who live as Christians here on this earth must live faithful unto death so that we'll receive the crown of life. So, if there is anyone here this morning who desires to make the proper choice at this time, we urge you to do so. Together we stand and sing the song that's been announced. Shall we stand while we sing?
Number 92. What can